Whenever I'm introduced, the one thing that makes me cringe just a little is the phrase, "and she teaches preaching." Because then I know that the bar goes up and the critiques go out. And in fact, my students who knew I was coming today to preach to all of you said, "Will you fill out the preparation report and exegesis report before you go across the street?" And I said, "No, that's something I receive from you, but I'm not going to give it to you, although I have done it." So it is good to be here, and I look forward to coming back. I enjoyed my time with you last time I was here, and so we invite the Lord's presence as we hear again from His Word. Hear this word from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting with verse 19. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus, standing there among them, "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder today if any of you could say that you've been on the outside looking in. It might have been as commonplace as closing your car door and just the instant before the lock clicked it shut, you noticed your car keys and your cell phone on the seat. Please tell me I'm not alone. I remember a time when I was driving from Kentucky to Michigan to our cottage. I had been in the car for 7.5 hours. I couldn't wait to get to our cottage and just collapse. I arrived at 11 p.m. at night, and as I walked to the door, there was that sinking feeling. The key was on my table in Lexington. The one person that had the key wasn't home. I was so close to my own bed, but that night I slept in a motel room, a Super 8. Sometimes we're on the outside looking in, so close, but not there. There are other times where we've experienced life as those who have been left out. Some of you probably have experienced this reality as well. You're in a group of friends, and you realize they're planning for some event, but you weren't included. Maybe it was deliberate, and maybe it was simple oversight, but there you were, standing on the outside, looking in. It's time for letters to go out to scholarship recipients, and you're not among them. And again, you're on the outside, looking in. Perhaps the worst place to be on the outside looking in is when it comes to our spiritual lives, when we're bystanders in the way of faith, We have experienced Christ in our life at a different points, and yet there are times when we're watching the Spirit move in other people's lives. We're seeing growth and testimony from people who are close to us, and it seems as though their lives are exploding with insight in the spiritual realm. And there we are. We're happy for them, but we can't relate. We're pleased that God is working in their lives, and yet the yearning in our hearts means that we're watching something that we desire very much to experience. Those human realities are shared by Thomas, the one who we have just read about in Scripture today. Thomas, a faithful disciple of Jesus, as faithful at least as the other disciples, was standing on the outside looking in. It hadn't been long, just a couple days, since he was there. He watched his Lord crucified. He watched Jesus die. And with the reality of death hanging closely and tightly around Thomas, he knew there wasn't hope beyond the grave. He knew the finality of death in that moment. Perhaps he could not even remember the time when the disciples received word that Lazarus had died. Lazarus had died, and finally the word came to Jesus, and Jesus delayed in going to Bethany. And in that process, the disciples were aware that there was already antagonism toward Jesus. There was already a move afoot by the religious leaders to have Jesus killed. And it was Thomas, of all people, who stood up and before his friends and before the Lord said, "Let's go with Jesus and we'll die with him too." That moment of faith in Thomas's life was long gone. He only now stood in the coldness of death, shrouded with pain. If you will, crushed into a corner of life, perhaps no bigger than a coffin, in which the feelings of his heart in the face of death explode and ricochet off the walls in a way that pummel his soul. How could you see beyond the cross? How could you see beyond the grave? What would life possibly be like now? And there, in that tomb-like closet of grief, the door cracks open just a bit, and he hears the words, "The Lord is risen." They were incomprehensible. He had no way to put the pieces together for what this could possibly mean. And for those of you who have walked in places of grief, you know that in the heaviness of those moments, even good news falls on the numbness of your heart, in the dimness of your mind. And so the word was coming in, "The Lord is risen." And Thomas' friends, the ones he had been living with, traveling with, and giving life with in the presence of Jesus, began to relate to him that Jesus had come. That Jesus, when the doors were locked, because they were afraid that they too might be imprisoned or worse yet killed, when the doors were locked, Jesus appeared among them. And at his appearing, he greeted them with such a common greeting, "Peace be with you." But then, again, Jesus speaks, "Peace be with you." Could it be that Jesus speaking peace was more than just the common, "Hi, how are you?" or "Hello?" Could it be that as Jesus said, "Shalom," the kingdom of God began to reverberate? Could it be that the disciples then began to remember all the words of the prophets that promised that a day would come when God's full kingdom would reign on earth. And Jesus, there in the midst, speaking shalom and peace to them, held out his hands, and he showed them his side, and they knew it was the Lord. Not only did they tell that story to Thomas, but they wanted Thomas to know as well. They weren't the only ones. Mary Magdalene had met Jesus too, or I guess I should say Jesus met Mary in the garden outside his tomb. And they shared together conversation in which Mary knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that her Lord was alive. But Thomas, even hearing from his friends, could not believe. He shook his head and he said, it doesn't make sense. I know life and I know death and they don't come together. And in fact, I'm not going to believe until I, with my own eyes, see the Lord in his wounds and place my fingers there and hands in the side. We can be a little hard on Thomas because he doubted. But in reality, Thomas asked for nothing more than what the other disciples and Mary had already experienced. He recognized that he was on the outside looking in, and he wanted to be included in the reality that they had shared. He wanted not to be locked out of the experience. And so until he could know for himself, he said that he couldn't believe. I wonder, are there times in your life, in your spiritual life, where you feel like you're on the outside looking in? Maybe even right now, you're in a place where we've moved through grand Easter celebration, but there's been a quiet dimness in your heart. Maybe even now, you watch some exciting happenings bubbling up in the lives of your friends, and from a distance, you recognize that's not your reality. When we're on the outside looking in, it doesn't mean that we don't want to believe that Jesus is raised. It rather means we want to experience it for ourselves. When we're on the outside looking in, it doesn't mean that we're resistant to the spiritual life, but it means that that yearning within us is so strong that we want to know for ourselves that Jesus has come for me. When I think of feeling like you're on the outside looking in, I think the most common thing, the most common human reaction would be to stay away from the people who have something that you don't have. It's true for me. When I'm on the outside looking in, if I found out my friends were planning something and I wasn't invited, I would just pick up my pride and walk the other way and create distance between the ones who are having a good time and myself. If I'm seeing marvelous growth in my friends, and I'm spiritually cold or dry, it's likely that I'm not going to hang out with them because being with them would only heighten the reality of my own left-outness. Amazingly enough, that's not what Thomas did. Thomas had more faith probably than I would have had. Thomas didn't run. He didn't put himself in a hole. Instead, he stayed with the community of faith. He stayed with the disciples. And amazingly enough, it was with those disciples that Jesus came again. No surprise there, is it? While it's our tendency to run when we feel like we don't fit, that's the worst thing that we can do. And so we follow the pattern of Thomas, that we stay in fellowship. Even during that uncomfortable week that Thomas experienced, where he watched and listened to the experiences of his friends that he couldn't share. But there they were. They were together again. And just like before, Jesus came right into their midst. And this time, he came for one purpose. He came for Thomas. The others had seen him. They did not need more proof or more evidence. But there was one in the midst who needed the presence of the Lord. And Jesus came. He initiated contact, and he offered to Thomas all that he asked for. He spoke peace again, and then he held out his hands and his side. He knew Thomas' heart, and he even invited Thomas to put his hands there and see. But before Thomas could even reach forward to fulfill his request of touching, his life broke forth in belief. My Lord and my God. Jesus' presence had led Peter to a place of belief. That is always God's intention for the world, not just for Thomas. In fact, there's a verse, maybe the very first verse of Scripture that you learned, that confirms God's desire for us to come to belief. You can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thomas came to believe. But he didn't believe because he conjured up and he dredged up self-will to believe. Thomas came to believe not because he visualized a perfect reality or a vision that he wanted to move toward. Thomas came to believe not because he moved into self-actualized spiritual reality. The only way Thomas came to believe was as a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ in his very midst. Jesus unlocked Peter's doubt. He welcomed the one who was sidelined in faith to come in, and he changed the reality for Thomas that allowed Thomas to be a participator in the family of God. I wonder, where are you today? Are there places in your own spiritual life where you are sidelined? Where are you are desperately yearning for the risen Christ to come and be present, to birth faith in your life? You know, Jesus said that Thomas was blessed because he saw and believed, but there would be others that would follow, those of us here, who would be blessed because not seeing, we still believe. The reality, though, is that no one comes to believe apart from the presence of the risen Christ. Jesus isn't here with us this morning in his risen body. With our eyes, our physical eyes, we're not seeing or beholding him, but he's here. He's here by the power of his Holy Spirit. And just like he knew the needs of Thomas, he knows our needs, and he knows our yearning and our longing to grow in faith and to no longer be on the sidelines. So I would invite you today, where is it in your life that you're on the outside looking in? Jesus meets you there. And at that point, he can birth faith in your heart that will lead you to places that you can't now begin to fathom. The history of the church tells us that Thomas, after seeing the Lord, after Pentecost, was the one who spread the gospel all the way to India. If the Lord would meet you today, who knows where he would lead you in the course of your life as one who would stand with Thomas and say, "My Lord and my God." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we turn to you today because there's no other. We turn to you because you are the source of life itself, and you alone can move us from being on the outside to the freedom of faith. I pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would meet each one here who is yearning. Meet them at the place where they're wanting their faith to be fanned into flame. And Lord Jesus, move them to belief that they might witness for you in the power of your Spirit. Accomplish your work among us even this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen. When Jesus met the disciples, he came into their midst and he said, "Peace be with you." Today, as you move back into the routine of your classes, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the love of God the Father enfold you, and may the presence and fellowship of the Holy Spirit bless and keep you. Amen. Go in peace.